Okay, let's pray. Lord, as we look at the fire of responsibility, as we've just been hearing that there will come a day when a fire, perhaps it refers to your judgment or your insight into our lives, will reward each of us for the work that we've done for you. Help us to take in something new from this message, that it might transform our lives, that it might prepare us for the day that will come quicker than we anticipate, quicker than we realize. And Lord, just bless this message to us and to this church, we pray. Amen. I just got back from Ethiopia on Thursday, and I wanted to sort of give you a quick update. I was there for 16 days, so a longer trip than normal, and I did three projects. So let's see if we got. The first thing is we were involved. It's called a mobile seminary, and we were with 35 students, and these students have been selected, and they are training to become missionaries among unreached people groups in Ethiopia. There's something like 43, so there are 35 students who are going out to unreached people groups in Ethiopia. And they were very bright students. It was a great week that we had. And at the end, our last phase is on Acts, is about church planting. We put up plans. They had plans to plant 59 churches. I found out, well, there's 35 students, and they have to plant a church to graduate, so there'll be at least 35. And this is us praying over their plans, so we prayed that God would bless their plans. That was a great week. And then we had a three-day summit where we got our leaders from our training from around the world. So we had people from Nepal, Uganda, Guatemala, Brazil, the US, and the UK. And we just had 3 days basically planning, reporting back, thinking about the future, how we're going to be moving into some new countries. And this was me with, he's called Pastor Rabin from Nepal, and his wife Sheila. So that was a great sort of blessing to be together. And then I headed down to the Rift Valley, and I was in the Hawassa region. This was me last week preaching at a big church in Sheshimane. The pastor was apologetic. He said, we're not going to have very many people this morning because a lot of people are away at another gathering. Anyway, once I stood up to preach, the whole church was full. There must have been like 600 people, and it was quite a sort of a responsive audience. So, you know, I want to hear some hallelujahs this morning. Amens. It was great. There's me being trying to be a fiery preacher. And in the same church, we did some training with leaders from the church. This is in a town called Sheshimane. And then we were in another church called Dore Bafana. That's in a sort of another region, although it's close to where we were. And this is a much poorer region. And again, doing the same training and a good time. We did struggle a little bit with fuel because diesel has basically run out in the country. So everywhere you go, all the lorries are parked up by the side, all the vans. So there's a lot of struggles with transport. But we did get to everything that we had to get to. On the last day, it's not very clear, but the church had lent out some chairs and some sound system to the local community for an event. So that's a donkey bringing it back. So I thought that was a fun picture for us all. But it was a great time. And as always, I always feel like I go to give, but I'm blessed in reverse. And I have a lot to sort of give back to the church when I come back. It fires me up. So that's a good thing for being away. This morning we're looking at the fire of responsibility. We read this passage, 1 Corinthians 3, 1 to 15. And if you remember, our verse for this year is never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. We want to have zeal, we want to hold on to it, we want to hand it out to others. But if you look at that verse carefully, it doesn't say that God's going to give us zeal, God is going to keep us on fire. Paul is saying this is a responsibility that we have. We are to be responsible to stir the fires of spiritual passion. We are to be responsible to hold on to our spiritual zeal. We are to be responsible to use our salvation to serve Jesus Christ. I've been reading a commentary on Revelation by John Lennox. He's a very well-known mathematician from Oxford University. And in Revelation 4, he speaks about the 24 elders around the throne. And he says, we don't know who these elders are. Some people have suggested they're the 12 patriarchs and the 12 apostles. He says, though, even though that's suggested, no data is given on these elders. He said, the only things that we really know is they're created because they have age. God is uncreated and has no age. But he says it also is communicating to us that God delegates authority. God empowers others and gives them responsibility. If you think about creation, God gave responsibility to mankind to look after the garden, to go forth and to multiply. And at the end of Matthew's gospel, Jesus gives us responsibility. He says, I want you to go into all the world and to make disciples of every nation. And so God delegates responsibility. God empowers us, and with that empowerment comes responsibility. We have the parable of the talents. We looked at that a year and a bit ago. Jesus talks about a master who entrusted his wealth to three servants. So the servant who had been given three bags of silver went to his master and said, look, master, you gave me three and I have given you three more back. The one who had five bags of silver given to him said, master, you gave me five and I have increased it to five more. And then there was the servant who had been given one, and he said, I was afraid. I was terrified. So I hid my bag of silver, and here it is again. But it says the master was angry with that servant because he hadn't made an increase. Whereas to the other servants, God says, well done, good and faithful servants. You've been faithful in handling this small amount. So now I will give you more responsibilities. And so faithfulness is connected to the word responsibility. And we have to think about it, because I think we think to ourselves, well, I'm going to reach 67 and I'm going to retire, I'm going to play golf. But in a way, the more that we have in life, the more responsibility that God gives us. And so responsibility never ends. And if this parable is correct, responsibility in heaven will never end. We're called to be eternally responsible. Or the parable of the sower. God's word is sown into our life, and God wants the word to increase 30, 60, 100 times what was sown. In terms of our passage, I broke it up. We had three different readings, and I'll sort of make three different points from our passage. They are not difficult points, but they're ones that we need to take on board. From our first little section, the point that I want to make is we are responsible to grow spiritually. Paul says, I gave you milk, not solid food, for you are not ready for it. Indeed, you're still not ready. You're still worldly. And so this church, Paul has said, you haven't been responsible. You're still sort of not growing properly. You're still immature. You still need milk. You're not growing. Jesus says in John's gospel that we are to abide in him. And as we abide in him, we'll bear much fruit. And so we have this responsibility to grow as Christians. We have this responsibility to abide in Christ. There was an interesting research that was done. This was done by Willow Creek in the US. And they have a big association of many churches, and they looked throughout their association. I think they did something like 700,000 surveys of mature Christians. They asked mature Christians, are you growing in your faith? And if you are, what is helping you to grow? And what they discovered is that many Christians felt that they were stalled in their faith. They weren't growing. But those who said, yes, I am growing, one of the sort of key findings was that those people took personal responsibility for their growth. They didn't say, well, it's the pastor's job to do it, or it's the church's job to do it, or it's the sort of podcast. Or what. It's, people said it was my job to grow. It's my job to grow. I am responsible for my growth as a Christian. And they also found that those people who took that responsibility were involved in spiritual practices like scripture reading, like prayer, all these things that were important for their maturity. And so we are responsible for our spiritual growth. In the next section, 1 Corinthians 3, 5-9, I think Paul is saying we have to be clear about our responsibilities. Firstly, we need to know what is my responsibility and what is God's responsibility. Paul says, I planted the seed. I was responsible for planting the seed. Apollos watered it. He was responsible for watering it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. And so God, we've got a responsibility, but God is responsible for the growth. Many, many years ago, I have to confess, I think it was 2012, I was worn out from trying to make my church grow. And that summer, as I was worn out, two different speakers, and I think God was speaking to me through them. I was at a conference for Freedom in Christ, and they said, we need to know what's our responsibility and what's God's. And so the example they gave is that Jesus' responsibility is to build his church, to grow his church. I was at another one, I think it was HUD, who we know was speaking, and he said, we need to know what's our responsibility and what's God's. Our responsibility is to do the work, God's responsibility is to grow his church. And so it was a good reminder that Jesus said, I will build my church. And so we can do all that we can to make it work, but in the end, it's God who'll give the growth. And so there's freedom in that, but there's also calling for us to be responsible. We need to also know and be clear about what is my responsibility, but what's others' responsibility. Paul says, I laid a foundation, which is Jesus Christ, as a wise builder, but someone else is building on it. That's their responsibility. Paul says, each one will be rewarded for their own work. So he's reminding us, we each have a responsibility, a work to do. The drama triangle. It's a very interesting, sort of thought-provoking idea. Basically, it talks about how people evade personal responsibility through playing three roles. We're either the victim, the persecutor, or the rescuer. So victims just evade responsibility for their own lives. Persecutors, they avoid responsibility by shifting the blame to others. Rescuers take on the responsibilities of others and actually prevent others from growing. And this triangle helps us to think, well, if I'm to take on responsibility, I have to change the drama triangle. So I have to go from being a victim to a creator, the person who developed it said. I have to take responsibility for my own choices. I have to take responsibility for my own feelings and actions. I have to take responsibility and not blame others and circumstance. They say to those who are persecutor, you have to change to be a challenger. You have to express your own needs. You have to set boundaries. You have to hold yourself accountable, but also others accountable to what they're called to do. And then rescuers, and that's many of us here have been rescuers, and we tend to do that with our kids. We have to change from being a rescuer to a coach. And basically that's empowering others to solve their problems instead of us, you know, supporting them and taking away their power to solve their own problems. And so this is a little way that we get to think about our own responsibilities. And so we are responsible for our own spiritual growth. We need to know what I'm responsible for and what God is responsible for. I need to know what am I responsible for and what others are responsible for. And finally, we are, in 1 Corinthians 3:10 to 15, to build responsibly. That's one of the things that Paul is calling us to do, is to build responsibly. He says, each one should build with care. Each one should build with care. Each one should be responsible. He goes on to say, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. And so we have a day coming that will test how responsible we've been. I'd like to add, I think to build responsibly is to build eternally. It's to build with a bigger picture in mind. Paul talks about building using gold, silver, and costly stones. The implication is these are things that go through the fire, and gold and silver often get purified by fire. He talks about building using wood, hay, or straw. The implication is these things get burnt up. We have very little to show for it. He says, if what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it's burnt up, the builder will suffer loss. We are not judged, and I want to be very clear, by whether we belong to Jesus or not. As a Christian, we belong to Jesus. That's different than non-Christians. They'll be judged for not having received Christ. But we will, as believers, be judged for how we've built our lives on Jesus Christ. We'll be judged for how faithful, for how responsible we've been to the salvation that we've received. And my work as a leader is not only to be responsible for my life, but is to tell you to be responsible for your own life and to prepare each of us for the day that is to come. This text brings up an interesting question, and I think it's answered very clearly by Paul, is can we lose our salvation, yes or no? Can we lose our salvation? And Paul is consistent here. I think he's saying you don't lose your salvation. If you become a Christian, you've become new in Christ. He says to the Corinthians, and it comes out better actually in the New Living Translation, you are living like, you are acting like people of the world. You're living like people of the world. You're acting like mere humans. He doesn't say you are, he just says you're acting like a different identity. You've been given this new identity. He goes on to say, if it is burnt up, the builder will suffer lost and yet will be saved, even though as one escaping through the flames. And in some versions it says, will escape through the flames naked. I think heaven, and I want to say this clearly, is a wonderful place, and it's going to be wonderful for us all. But heaven is not a place of complete equality. Nowhere does it say in the Gospels that there's complete equality. It says, if we've done well, we'll be rewarded and given more responsibility. If we failed to build well, we'll suffer loss. It doesn't mean that we'll be like, oh, I hate heaven. But we'll suffer loss, and it will be known that we didn't use our faith responsibility. And so we need to take these warnings from Scripture seriously. Paul is very clear, you're not going to lose your salvation, but you could lose the reward that Christ has got for you. And so God has given us life, he's given us salvation, he's given us grace through Christ, and he wants us to be responsible with what he's given us. God wants us to bring about some kind of increase in our faith. God wants us corporately to bring about some kind of increase in our church. I have said this before, and You know, part of taking on the job at DBC was I want to finish the race that God has set before me well. I've often said to God, you know, I want this last one or two decades, whatever time God gives me, I want it to be the most fruitful, the most joyful, the most blessing for God's kingdom ever. My spiritual mentor, Linus, says he's 85, and he joined us in Ethiopia. He flew all the way. It was kind of like having Gandalf with us, a very old wise man. But he always says, I'm all in all the way to the end, and I want to be all in all the way to the end. I want to arrive before God and hear, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a little. Here's more responsibility to manage. I don't want to end up in heaven and God says, you've not been responsible. Come and enjoy my kingdom, but you haven't multiplied. You haven't increased your life in any way. You haven't been responsible with the faith that you've been given. We all love Oprah Winfrey. Maybe we don't, but... But this is a good quote. It's probably one of the better ones. She said, the greatest lesson of life is that you are responsible for your life. And I think that's something God is saying. I've given you all that you need, salvation. I've given you all that you need for life and godliness. But you are responsible for your life and to build upon what I've given you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for these words about responsibility. And they're a challenge for all of us. They're a challenge for me. They're a challenge to each person seated here. They're a challenge to your church. Because we're not going to be judged about whether we're Christians or not. We're going to be judged at how responsible we've been with our life. And I pray that you will help us to build responsibly upon the foundation of Jesus Christ and his grace. Help us to build responsibility as individuals, but help us as leaders to build responsibility, responsibly, corporately, Lord, in this church. Lord, help us to take on these words that one day there is a day when you will test our work and see what kind of results that we've produced. I pray that each of us will stand before you and hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been responsible with little. Now come and enjoy my kingdom, and here are some more responsibilities for you to manage. And so, Lord, take these words and put them into the places in our heart that they need to be, I pray. And may we think about it this week. May we make adjustments this week in the ways that you are moving us and calling us forward, I pray. Amen.